disturbance in my new condo.
Okay, what happened?
I moved in. Ceiling fan light don't work. Lights don't work. Plug in your charger for your phone. So I had a few phone calls down to the front desk and to property management with some language not safe for the radio. Turns out I looked in the fuse box, had to move a couple fuses around. Things are looking up.
All good now? I don't think that's your problem, though. It's a new place. How are you supposed to know that?
Dude, I don't even know how a fuse box works.
Right, exactly. That's not your problem. That's on...
Well, I might have to...
Building operations. Unless you blew out the fuse. I mean, did you
Dude, I hadn't even moved in. I was moved in, and I tried to turn on the ceiling fan or whatever. It doesn't work.
Yeah, that's not your problem.
One of these things that's got the stupid remotes.
The one thing I do miss about living in a building is that you can always call someone else and complain and get them to do it for you.
Oh, there's the old trick, too, we were told. Get the... Get a handyman, pay for it, and then we'll reimburse
you. Oh, no dice. Don't do that.
That is a hard no
hard
guy.
Hard no guy. If you're paying like big money, and you're probably paying maintenance fees, and you're paying for all the flowers outside.
No, we're just rent. We rent.
Okay, but you have to be, you're in a condo, though. There's got to be some sort of fee on top of what the...
No,
there's
it's
not.
It's just rent. I'm sure the maintenance fee is included in the rent.
Sure.
And that's how they do it. But there's not rent and maintenance
fee. And on top of it, okay. But still, I'll bet you that is the case. Whatever you're paying, tack on another $500, and that's actually what you've been throwing into the pot for maintenance around the building. That's the case. One of the great luxuries of living in a place where there's a landlord is you call up the landlord and they figure it out.
No kidding.
I don't have that luxury. I wish I did. I wish I could call someone every time and be like, hey, come figure this out. Something's going on with the house.
Yeah, no
Doesn't
kidding.
Work that way. We got Jonas Siegel in here because Noodles is calling the Leaf game tonight on TSN 4 and right here on TSN 1050. You can hear the game on TSN 1050. Leafs Sabres down at the Rico. So Jonas is in here from The Athletic.
Whoa!
And I guess you're sticking around for the whole show, so you don't have to be down there for the pregame for preseason games. Is that the way this works or what?
I think I can sweat it out throughout the regular season. I know Jeff gets really upset when I have to leave early. But now the excuse that I used to give you, which was legitimate, I don't have it anymore.
What? The one like where you had to watch warm-up?
Yeah, like...
You don't.
Yeah.
And it's because you used to be with the Canadian press, and if something happened, you were responsible for, like, the whole country.
Exactly.
Where now with The Athletic, Myrtle
Thank
will let you.
You
slack off and you can do whatever you want.
Sort of.
Has Myrtle yelled at you yet?
Yes. And not even
I
yelled.
I want to know
like,
all
has he
the
given
details.
You crap?
No. It's been like 2 weeks. What would I do?
I can't picture Myrtle snapping on anybody, though.
Oh, I can.
You can?
Oh, yeah.
He's too nice of a guy. He's a laid-back
Dude,
guy.
It's business, though. You're a nice guy, too, but you snap on us when we're idiots.
Yeah, but I don't think people would be surprised by that as much as Myrtle snapping on people.
I say think before Christmas, you have a blowout with Ninja Myrtle.
I hope not. I hope it doesn't happen. But
what?
Where did that nickname come from?
You never heard of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles?
Yes, I have.
Ninja Myrtle. Myrtle rhymes with turtle. I thought you were a writer, you pigeon.
What does the what does the ninja have to do with it?
It's because it's Ninja Turtle. Ninja Myrtle rhymes with Ninja Turtle.
Yeah, how does
what
that not make
idiot.
Sense to you? I don't understand how... That's not complicated.
It's a bit of a stretch.
Anyway, it's good to have you here, Jonas. And
good to be here.
Noodles will be calling the game tonight. What did I just call him?
Noodles.
Did I call him Noodles?
Yeah, you got
Didn't
it right.
sound right in my head. Jack Eichel was talking about the rivalry between these two teams. We'll tell you about that momentarily. It's hot in the city, man. I just realized and just read that Environment Canada, they are issuing a heat warning in the GTA for the next couple of days. And we're going to be at the Road Hockey to Conquer Cancer tournament tomorrow up at Woodbine. And it is going to be a toasty afternoon.
A scorcher, they call it.
Scorcher. And we're going to be out there playing road hockey for a great cause. We can't wait. All proceeds going to Princess Margaret. But I am a little bit concerned. I should not be surprised, but maybe because this is for charity, I figured that it wouldn't actually apply to this tournament. I was speaking with Mike Lane, who works down here, and Mike's a big shooter on SportsCenter, and he's been playing in this tournament for a long time. And he said there are guys who try to pick fights at this tournament. like road hockey guys, because it gets so heated, it gets so emotional. You know, the beer league warrior who just cannot accept that he's not in the NHL. There are no pro scouts in the stands. I guess it's carrying over to road hockey. And now we got to deal with that because we have a bit of a profile. You've got a huge profile. Someone's going to try to pick a fight with you tomorrow afternoon.
My effort level, you saw me. Were you even here for the last one here that we did here?
No, I wasn't.
Well, I don't pass the red line. I just take one-timers from the red line. So I won't be putting myself... But there, it's such small little arenas that you can't help but bump into people. But if there is any extracurricular activity, there could be some chops involved.
But don't you, as an ex-professional athlete, get people who want to show you up?
Jonas, you're talking to a guy that got subbed in as a courtesy runner. I had a courtesy runner subbed in for me. The term professional athlete is no longer applicable.
But this is your world, though. Softball, you didn't play in Major League Baseball.
I don't think anyone gives a rat's ass to go to work on Monday and say, I took the puck off Jeff O'Neill and
actually,
my elbow.
Oh, I think exactly.
Will, for
exactly.
Sure.
It's like it's jail. It's like in jail where the biggest guy gets picked on the most because everyone wants to set an example that they got the stones to take on that guy.
Is that
guy.
How it goes down in jail?
Yeah, I'm very familiar with that.
Shawshank?
Yeah, it's just simply based on Shawshank. Maybe a couple of other shows and movies. Maybe The Sopranos. Remember when Cheech came out and
I'm not that far yet.
You don't know who Cheech is?
I'm not that far
in The Sopranos?
Yet. I'm watching it now.
Yeah, he would have been probably season 5,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah, not that far.
So you don't know Cheech. Yeah. All right, you'll know Cheech. And you'll know the reference when you come across that episode. Anyway, it's also a big weekend for the Blue Jays because this is it. 3 more games. The Yankees are in town. Beautiful weather. I just saw the Jays tweet out. The roof will be open all weekend. Like, it's the end of September, the final 3 games, and the roof is going to be open. It's patio weather. It's absolutely exceptional. It's too bad that they're not playing for anything. But there is something significant that will be happening this weekend, and that is more than likely the end of the Jose Bautista era in Toronto. And even though we spoke with Ross Atkins a couple of days ago, and he didn't close the door on Bautista coming back, he gave us the typical answer, we're not closing any doors, we're going to review every option. I just can't picture it. I can't. If they actually are committed to winning next year, and they're trying to convince everyone that they are, that they believe they can be a playoff team, if that's the case, how do you bring back Jose Bautista in right field? You can't. Maybe if he's a platoon, bench, DH guy, but if Morales is back, then the DH position is not up for grabs either.
And it's a classic case where if they want to kind of retool and win next year, it's a great opportunity for the team to go in a different direction and get some different blood in there. Do you not agree?
Absolutely. Prove that you are trying to get younger. Prove that you're trying...
They did that last year. They said that last year, Brian. We're going to get younger. We're going to get faster. We need people moving around the bases. They brought in who? Pierce?
Yeah, they brought in Steve Pierce and Morales.
Yeah, it's like, what the hell are you talking about?
Two older guys who are not close to Usain Bolt. But as for Bautista, if this is it for him, I was thinking about this today, just going over his tenure here. He's been here for 10 years. I can't think of another Toronto athlete that has supplied us with more water cooler moments and water cooler chats than Bautista.
Come on.
Are you going to say Phil?
Of course.
But think about this, though. Phil, though, from a standpoint...
If you're going to say Bautista over Phil, you're flat-out high right now.
I'm talking water cooler moments that he was involved in. Phil never had a moment that was talked about more than a bat flip in Game 5.
Really? No, the first day of training camp when he was chewing gum, saying he skated 4 times?
That was not bigger than Bautista hitting a home run in the 7th in Game 5 of a playoff game. It wasn't.
What about Phil in the playoffs in 2013?
About what, though?
He was good.
Okay.
I guess there's no, like, signature moment.
But that's my point, though, is I would say the bat flip and the home run, him getting knocked by Odor was a huge moment in this city in terms of people buzzing about it. I think him dropping the mic day one of spring training a couple of years ago when he had that 20-minute diatribe about his worth and stock prices and everything...
Yeah, I guess you're right.
I figure you'd say Phil.
Right.
I think Phil is in a race with him, but I can't. I think Bautista has supplied us with more water cooler moments and chats than any other athlete in the city the past 10 years. Make your case for Phil.
I'm just trying to think of some moments. There's the this guy's such an idiot. That's a classic. There's the Ron Wilson little fake tiff. I don't know if it was actually a real tiff. Remember that day when he said him and Ron Wilson don't talk, and it became like a whole storm? Remember the Dion Phaneuf
there
defense?
Was the Ron Wilson comments about Phil. It's always about Phil, and if it ain't about Phil,
another
it ain't
good one.
Good.
That was on our show, I
no
think.
Kidding.
But if you have to remind people of these examples.
Dion Phaneuf, remember that?
Which one?
When he got
tired
in front
of the
media?
Way people are trading Dion Phaneuf.
Come on, that was after man. The trade deadline. Yeah, that was a big moment. But you've
Salute Gate?
Salute Gate was not him specifically, though.
He was a main dude.
I know.
There's
I've been told
of him going
it was
up
him.
To Dion Phaneuf right after yeah. the goalie and saying, "Let's not do this."
I've heard and I've been told from people within the organization it was him. They believe it was him that was orchestrating it, was spearheading it, or was at least one of the main characters in pushing the Salute Gate stuff or not saluting the fans. But that was not a specific Phil Kessel moment. Like that was the whole team, and
but he was like the main character. I think you're pushing it.
How am I pushing it? I just
You've
I supplied you
like
with two.
Two.
I've given you two of the biggest water cooler moments, water cooler chats this city has seen
How
in 25 years.
How about both trades? How about when he gets traded here in
Phil's trade
2009?
Both ways? Big moments.
How about when he gets traded out?
Big listen, but I could give you more of Bautista, more that features Bautista. Him involved with the umpires over the years, his comments at the All-Star game a few years ago when they didn't make a trade, and he kind of called out Anthopoulos. I mean, I just don't think you can trump the bat flip and the Odor punch.
Why don't you throw out a poll, and we'll decide by the end of the show.
Okay.
Who's had more water cooler topics in this city, Jose Bautista or Phil Kessel?
Is there anyone we're missing over the past 10 years? I don't think so. I mean, I can't think of anybody over the past 10 years. No one on the Raps.
No.
No one else on the Jays that has 10 years of material. And with the Leafs.
Dion?
Maybe really. Dion, but Dion didn't have moments. You know what I mean? Like, there wasn't anything where you were like, wow. Like, even on the ice, all these Phil moments are off the ice. Their comments
they're
made.
Bad teams.
They're Yeah, but
Who
still.
Do you think was liked more at their peak? Is it Jose, no question?
Yeah, Bautista, no question. I think Bautista was universally loved at his peak. I think Phil always had doubters and people that weren't, because of the trade, which was totally unfair to him, but because of the principle behind the trade, that Leaf fans were so sick and tired of this organization trading away future picks, and then they turned into Sagan and Dougie Hamilton, Phil was always dealing with that shadow. Wasn't his fault, but I think a lot of fans just held a grudge against him because of the deal right off the hop. Bautista was a waiver pickup that no one had ever heard of before. Next thing you know, he's hitting 54 home runs. I'll set the poll up. Bautista or Phil? Who made Toronto sports fans talk more over the past 10 years?
I just think it's a product of the Leafs. Everybody talks about the Leafs more here.
Not the past 2 years. Not the past 2 years.
I don't know, man.
2 years ago, you think the Leafs were talked more than the Jays when they were tanking and they were awful and the
but
Jays
like
were
little,
having that run?
They talk about that at the Athletic.
I don't know. I just started.
But seriously, Jonas, you don't actually
well,
believe
because
it 2 years
just,
ago.
It was that's just like a few weeks stretch where that is the main event. But as far as like what people talk about in the city more, come on. Babcock, Matthews,
yeah, now
Lamorelle. No,
you're
like two
you're
years
in the
ago.
Now. Not two years ago, the Jays absolutely pushed the needle more than the Leafs.
Okay,
and were way more talked about because they were winning. The Leafs were the last place team in the league, just based on that alone. That's the kind of extreme you need. If everything's equal, it's still Leafs 1, Jays 2 in terms of the coverage, in terms of the fans, in terms of just the amount of clicks online and radio ratings and TV ratings. I'm not disputing that. But 2 years ago, the chasm was so huge. The Jays won the ALCS. The Leafs were the worst team in the league.
That was 1 year. What about last year?
Last year was different probably because of Matthews and Marner and Nylander. But this time last year, it was Jays. You were down there covering the Leafs, and I'm sure you realized you were not the story in town, which is says something about where the Jays were this time last year, because Matthews was there. Marner was there. Nylander was there. Babcock was there. Freddie Anderson was there. They had all these new players. This sense of optimism was in the city that we had not experienced in a long time. And I still would say this time last year, the Jays were absolutely the bigger story.
And then Matthews scored four. Maybe it changed.
But the Jays were winning the ALDS. You can't compare.
This is not quantifiable, so we could keep going for hours.
Well, okay, but you're disputing me, but I don't think you're acknowledging just an obvious here. I think
fair.
You're being a contrarian.
No, I'm not. I'm not trying to be. Well, maybe it's just natural. I just don't agree sometimes. It's a fair point.
Yeah.
But do you feel like the Jays now have kind of lost? I don't know. You lose Edwin Encarnacion last year. Now you lose Batista. Donaldson's still here, but it's like they kind of lost like their soul a little bit, their core. I don't know. It doesn't feel like the same. Even if they come back next year, I don't know what they're going to do in the offseason. They could trade Donaldson. I mean, if everything they're saying is true, that wouldn't happen. But
well, a losing season can tarnish a lot. Like, it can take you a long time to get to the top. It takes one bad year for you to get knocked back down to the bottom. Like, that's why in sports the cliche is, you know, it's one thing to become the champ. It's another thing to stay the champ. You know, to be consistently good for a long time is very difficult to do. And this year has been a very disappointing season. It's been a very boring season, too. There just hasn't been any excitement, any controversy, any breakout.
Well, smoke.
Yeah.
It got interesting when they were climbing towards 500 and they were one back, two back, and they were kind of creeping. And then they fell off the map and it was game over. That was kind of the only excitement I had from it.
Yeah, I guess before they went into Wrigley, it felt like they were kind of starting to move. Like they went 7-3 at home. And
you know how many times throughout the season it was kind of.
So do you feel stupid about that now? That you made yourself believe and tried to invest in it?
That's what you do as a fan. You're thinking this could be the weekend that turns it around, and it doesn't happen.
That's sports, I guess.
Jonas might feel stupid about it, but I don't.
Someone texting in saying this would be their fifth year playing the road hockey to conquer cancer. There's a fight every year. And there's a fight every single year.
Like, what are people thinking? It's a charity thing.
I won't be able to handle it. I can't take it. I can't take the stupidity of people. Like, it's ball hockey. Go out there and mess around.
The only way you do it is that you don't try. Because you don't try, you're not involved in an altercation.
Well, you can try, but just be reasonable.
Dude, don't
get crazy. All right, I'll set this poll up. Phil or Bautista? Who got the city buzzing more over the past 10 years? Who had Toronto sports fans talking more? Bautista or Phil? We'll get that poll going. We got James Duthie in studio for the first time in a long time. We haven't caught up with James in quite some time. And don't forget, Thursday, September 28th, it is Overdrive Night with the Barry Colts Horsepower Bar in the Barry Molson Center. You can meet us there for your chance to win tickets to the box with the guys, brought to you by Scotiabank.
We're going to be in a box?
We're going to be in a box at the Molson Center.
The time of his life.
You better believe it. Sergio Dipp, he may or may not actually make an appearance. I can't confirm or deny, as Fergie would say. But next Thursday, we'll be there, brought to you by Scotiabank. We can't wait for it.
We've got to ask Duthie about Dipp. Like,
okay, we'll get his.
He controls the show. Would he have said, you got to go back to the guy or what?
James Duthie's professional take on Sergio Dipp, how he would have handled that, his take on Bautista versus Phil over the past 10 years, and we'll let you know what Jack Eichel had to say about the relationship between the Sabres and the Leafs. We'll get to that next. All right, Duthie will be in studio. It's Mailin' In Friday. We've got future headlines coming up. We've got a poll question up on Twitter, at Overdrive1050. Who has created the most water cooler chatter in the city of Toronto over the past decade? Is it Phil Kessel or is it Jose Bautista? And how would Duthie have handled the Sergio Dipp situation a couple of weeks ago? We'll get to that in 2 minutes. All right, so we've got the game tonight on TSN 1050. Maple Leafs playing the Sabres at Rico, and you can also watch it on TSN 4 tonight. And the host of the panel, James Duthie, is now in studio. What's happening, James?
How are you, buddy? Do you guys still do that yes guy no guy, or is that did Tats put
we
a
we do
kill
a couple different variations of it. We also do the French version, Wigi Nongi.
What would be, if I wanted to pose one at you guys,
yes,
that would be Wigi Nongi?
Mm-hmm. Nongi.
You can do that.
Okay, first of all, the little tiny socks. You know how you want to wear summer shoes.
And you wear the footies?
And you wear the footies. Yes or no to the footies?
Yes, guy.
Wigi. I got them on right now.
Okay. You okay with the footies? Because I
go he no might socks. Wear that. He might wear the black socks up to his knees.
Yeah, he's a knee sock guy.
I'm in full agreement.
Wait a second. Wait. What's that mean?
Do you pull that move?
No.
I see
like
you.
A dark brown sock halfway up the
calf. Oh, buddy. By the way, do you know what's in now with like the kids, teenagers and stuff?
Oh, they're starting to wear like Nike socks.
Socks and sandals. Socks up to the knee and sandals.
Mm-hmm. That's a bad look.
Awful
no,
look.
This is
a hard non-gi.
You will never see the sandals with no socks anymore.
Awful.
With my son's group.
Well, will they see any women around?
No, they,
this group
that's the
either?
Thing. It's the
so
look.
Girls are like, yeah, okay, oh, we'll still hang out with
100%.
You. 100%.
Wow. I guarantee you, Austin Matthews on Saturday when he's walking around downtown tomorrow, high socks, sandals.
Well,
okay.
Anyway.
So the only problem with those little footies are the airport when you have to take off your shoes and then you got the little footies on, you look like a ballerina, right? So here's
that's
my second.
2 minutes of your life.
I know. Second part of Yeski Nogi. I go golfing today, brought my stuff with me. Forgot my real socks. So I got the little footies on now.
With the dress shoes.
With the dress shoes and the pants. Thoughts?
You know what? It's so hot, stylish to wear no socks. I'm a Wigi.
I think you're okay with that. I'm a Wigi.
What if it shows, you know, the pants are cut to that level. What if I do a wide shot on the show? Because we do have some standing shots, right, sometimes?
I think
am I
going to
be okay?
I think you're fine.
There's a little ankle.
Trend setting on
full blown.
You don't know how relieved I feel right now.
Yeah. I got a buddy
very concerned.
I have a buddy who doesn't wear socks
ever.
Like never ever.
It's kind of disgusting.
Will never wear socks. So he's in dress shoes with no socks. He's in sandals with no socks. He's
don't
in
like
shoes.
That.
Golfs with
disgusting.
No socks. Everything. Skates with no socks.
A lot of people
nothing.
Skate with no socks, but that's disgusting.
Yeah. I think you're okay there. That's a Wigi across the board
thank
here.
You. Okay.
You want to throw the Sergio Dip stuff at him and the scenario? Because you're a seasoned vet with TV.
Right.
Well, if you're running the show and you kind of control where you go or what you want to do.
And make no mistake, I do.
I know that. You just ask you. If Dip, like if, I don't know, how do you even compare that where you were like, wouldn't you say to somebody, you got to give him another chance? They did not put him back on TV the rest of the night.
So I don't think we've never had a moment like that, but we've had... Without
there's
naming
moments.
Names, a few moments. Heck, I've had a few moments like that over the years. But I would not let him go live again. I would try to tape something. Like if he could tape a hit during a commercial break for 40 seconds or tape an interview with the coach. I don't know if that was his job supposed to be that night as the coach went out
to
the
field. It was supposed to, yeah.
I would not let him go live, though, because that was just... such a debacle that but you could tape something with them and run it. I think that would be fine, but I'd want to, if I was the producer, I'd want to see it, because now you're right, you're giving them the second chance, which is the guy's thing to do and the teammate's thing to do, but the reality is there's a network on the line. You don't want to be the laughing stock, so I'd put something to tape. If it's decent, you run it. If it's not decent, it's what's his name?
But wouldn't Sergio Dip, wouldn't there be an element where the popularity and the Twitter was going, the people in the truck and stuff, they would know that or be aware of it, wouldn't they?
Yes, I think so.
So for that, wouldn't they say, okay, we got to go to this guy just for the hell of it, or it doesn't work that way?
No, I don't think so. I don't think at the network football level that they're thinking about the giggles. Hey, we got something here. He's trending. Let's go back to him. Let's make a big deal out of him. They're too old school, I think.
Yeah,
maybe
I think
Fox. Fox would have gone back to him.
Yeah.
Fox would have brought him in the booth.
It's like a Jimmy Kimmel bit or like
right.
James Corden or something.
But
like
this
that.
Guy seems to be loving it, right? Like he's tweeting and...
Like Sergio Dip, if you missed it, a couple of weeks ago on the debut of Monday Night Football in the second game, he's from ESPN Deportes and they threw to him in English and he just... choked it away. It was brutal. Like it was a full
but is he
meltdown.
The guy? Was he hired for the season to be the Monday Night Football sideline guy?
I don't no. believe so.
No, he works for ESPN Deportes.
And this was the second game. It was the rare Monday Night doubleheader.
And they were simulcasting in Spanish on ESPN2. So I believe he was working the sideline for ESPN Deportes.
Mm-hmm.
And ESPN was trying to pat themselves on the back. Like, hey, look at how progressive we are. Look what we're doing on ESPN2. So cross promotion. we're going to throw it down to our Spanish reporter to speak English, and it went south really quickly.
The only thing, when I first heard it, now that I've seen it, I don't think it was that. I think he froze. But I don't know if this has ever happened to you guys, but there is a thing sometimes where you hear yourself a second later in your ear, whether there's an audio thing, and that is one of the most impossible things to do, is keep talking. It's hard to make sense. You can't speak normal. And we've seen these clips in past years where some guys look like they're having some sort of seizure on the air. And I always think that that's what's happening, is they're hearing themselves a second later. And it's so hard, even as a seasoned broadcaster, to focus and get the words out properly.
Have you seen the Lawrence O'Donnell stuff that's been circulating?
Yes.
Is it MSNBC or CNBC?
Yeah, so that
MSNBC.
Who's hammering?
With the hammering. But he's also like, I can hear people talking in my ear.
Right.
And it was a full-blown meltdown. It was a borderline Bill O'Reilly. And
it might have been worse than Bill O'Reilly.
It might have been worse. It was a tirade. Like, he was going crazy. And that's never a good look for anyone, and you shouldn't do that. But we've been in the position where we've been on TV or in radio. It is very difficult to look as if you are concentrating on the audience and the camera and the microphone or whatever, and someone's speaking in your ear.
Well, for all the listeners at home, what happens is everybody sitting in that control room has these little buttons to talk to you. And what often happens is they get stuck, or the person forgets that they've pushed it. And so you'll be on there and they'll be having a conversation about whatever they're watching on TV this weekend.
Right.
You get it. But it's usually an honest mistake, or the buttons actually get stuck. So that I'll just pull my earpiece out on the air if that's happening, so I don't have to listen.
That's a veteran move. All right, James Duthie in here. You're a native of the greater Toronto area.
Not a native, but I'm an adopted son.
Yeah, you're right. That's not the right way of putting it. But you currently live in the greater Toronto
Correct.
Area. And you've lived here for about the past 10 years. More
20
than
years.
20 years. Okay.
Yeah.
So you can be included in this.
Okay, thank you.
Because there's strict, you know, qualifications here that have to be met for an overdrive poll question. Who generated, in your opinion, more water cooler discussion by Toronto sports fans over the past decade? Jose Bautista or Phil Kessel?
I would vote Phil, because I think there was more controversy, negativity in there. Although, my one caveat would be, there may have been more water cooler discussion about the bat flip
than anything else
ever. And
right.
That might take all of Phil's, over continuity and consistency for water cooler talk, it's Phil to me in a heartbeat, because there was so many things. But man, that bat flip is probably the water cooler moment for sports in Toronto in the last, I mean, maybe winning the lottery for Matthews, but I don't think so. I think that was the moment that everybody talked about for weeks. So.
Everybody.
Yeah, so, man, it's close. Like I said, Phil on the longevity, but nothing will ever touch. Phil never had a moment like, I don't even know, what would be the Phil moment? Maybe it's the Festchuk moment. I don't know. What would be, there's nothing that compares to that for,
well,
Phil.
And that's it. Like, Phil is like death by 1,000 paper cuts. Mm-hmm. There are so many moments. But that was my trump card. That's why I said Bautista was the bat flip. I think the Odor punch in the fight was huge, too. There were, like, everyone had a take on that. That was big, big news. But the bat flip, the home run, the seventh inning, everything that led to it, first playoff series win in 20 years for the Jays. I voted Bautista, but we've got it up on Twitter, at Overdrive1050, 47%. Of the votes in for Bautista, 53 for Phil. I think this will be really close.
What do you think, though, you've talked about on your show more?
Well,
like, it would be Phil by hours and hours and hours.
Right. Over the course of
volume over quality.
Well, yeah. I mean, if you're talking, like, Bautista's got a lot of play, too. 54 home runs, up for MVPs, you know, up for different contracts. What he said at All-Star games in the past about the organization and what they didn't do at the trade deadline or what they did do. His relationship with the umps. I mean, he's had a lot, too. He's been a soap opera himself. But just, I think the bat flip, the Odor stuff.
Here's, like, the thing, though. Just, I mean, to Jonas's point, you're talking about last 10 years. There's 7 years where Jose hit a lot of home runs, but there wasn't, besides that, there wasn't a lot until the last couple of years as far as, like you say, real stuff you could sit around and talk for 3 hours on a show like this, whereas Phil almost gave you something every second day, whether it's from his play or the stuff he said.
Right. I guess it's more on the field versus off the field, because there weren't that many Phil Kessel moments on the ice.
What about that, the Olympics? He was pretty good there.
He played well. He put up some points, but there wasn't anything where we came in,
no,
you know, that was so huge that you're like, we're going to talk about this for the next 20 years. like not Bautista in the home run.
I wonder if they, you remember the salute thing when
that's
they didn't
what I
salute.
Said. That was a crazy.
Yeah,
time.
that would be up there because Phil. It was kind of that was a Phil Dion mostly got associated with that, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Then they tried to say that they were trying to change up their game day routine.
That's what Dion said.
Yeah, that was the cop of all cops.
That wasn't.
Don't you think?
Properly.
Like the entire world we live in now, the excuses that come after or the apologies, like you never.
I thought Kevin Durant's apology was pretty genuine.
That was
Nailed
not
it.
Bad.
That's how you do it. Just own it.
Right.
Own it. He was like, man, I was just like depressed. And he goes, I haven't slept in two
days. Yeah, but I still think that it was a ghost account. And he didn't own that. He
right.
said that wasn't the case. He was just goofing
That's
around
garbage.
On his own account.
Okay, it was clear. It was a ghost account.
But he didn't own up to that part of it.
Are you shocked at these guys, how sensitive they are? Even with, like some of Crazy. These rankings come out for EA Sports and they're like, why is my ranking like? They're just so sad. It's like you make billions of dollars. Why do you care?
Mm-hmm. But they are. But didn't you? Were you like that in any way? Because I find athletes the most. That's probably my biggest eye-opening thing in my transition from fan to guy who covers it. Is
I only got pissed off one time. I was at my cottage like years after retirement, and you know, it was like Steve Simmons wrote something about me in one of his columns, and I emailed him. I was like, dude, let it go. Like I'm retired and. You know, this or that, and you just wrote back, and he's like, you're the one that played, not me. I think that chapped my ass more than
that. How, though, would you guys have reacted if, after Salute Gate, instead of saying what they said, they
Dude,
just
I would
came
have
out
never
and said...
Dude, I would never have been associated with
no,
something
not you.
As stupid as Salute Gate.
Not you. Let's pretend they came out afterwards, and they said, you know what? We're ticked off at the fans. We don't like the way we're being treated. That's the truth, and so we wanted to show
ticked
it.
Ticked off at the fans? Do they understand what they were doing on
but
the
no,
ice
no, no,
at
no,
that
no.
particular
no,
time?
No, he's saying, how would you react if they had said that? Would you have thought...
I would have
good on them for being honest.
No,
or would
no.
you have said, what are these guys talking about?
I would have said, trade every single one of them.
Right?
I honestly would have come
like,
on the air.
You don't have a choice.
But I wanted them out anyway. I hated that team.
Oh, it's disgusting.
I despised that team.
The whole thing
they
was
all
garbage.
Had to, and the truth is, there's still guys that are still here. Kadri was on the ice. Bozak Gardner was on the ice. Riley was on the ice. But the ringleaders are gone.
Right.
And Dion and Phil, and I think Shanahan that day realized they got to go. It's just a matter of when it's supposed to happen.
But for the most part, the things that come after, like the Lupul apology, they're all garbage. Like, it's the moment... when they did it, it's like the whole thing about.
He said it yesterday, James.
When you're drunk and you tell "I love you" to the girl, and then the next day, like, "Hey,
you love that."
No,
girl.
You love her.
Yeah, you love her. You're obsessed with her.
That's what he said yesterday. The moment of truth is when the actual comments come out. Anything afterwards is garbage.
Completely
is.
Bogus. Jack
I hate
Eichel,
you, man.
Thanks, dude. Jack Eichel. He came out today and he said, "We don't like the Leafs, and the Leafs don't like us." And I think he wants this to be a rivalry. I kind of hope it becomes a rivalry. But what are the chances? What are the chances Buffalo and the Leafs stay on a similar level over the next 4 or 5 years where it develops into a big rivalry?
It's going to take... Buffalo's got to get good first.
Really
Toronto's got to stay good. And then there's probably got to be a playoff round somewhere there, doesn't there?
Something has to happen. Yeah. Like these two teams, geographically, they're the closest two teams... going. I mean, they're...
That's how the rivalries develop through playoffs. You look at, I don't know what's been a constant in the last few years, Pitt, Washington, Minnesota, Chicago have played a lot of playoff series against each other. St. Louis, Chicago. I mean, that's how you develop the rivalry. It's just...
I know, but do you get excited about Minnesota, Chicago? You know, even they've played each other like six times
okay,
and you still go... I
to
know.
Everyone else, but to them, they're like, okay, we
right.
got these guys again.
Right.
Here we go.
What do you think the best rivalry in hockey is now? Like, they don't feel the same as they used to. Maybe Toronto, like, I'm thinking Toronto-Montreal, it doesn't have, like, the same buzz it did.
Well,
Toronto-Ottawa.
That's just based on history. I mean, that's always going to be the biggest.
I think Pittsburgh-Washington is probably right there.
Yeah.
They've gotten stomped most of the time.
It's just two of the elite.
Yeah. I mean, Pitt and Philly hate each other probably more than anybody else, but they're, again, Philly hasn't been very good lately, so. I mean, that was the last series I remember when two teams really legit.
Or Chicago, Vancouver, back in the day.
That for a couple of years was good, but that's gone now. You never consider that a rival.
Isn't that the point of these? The way that
it's not working.
The division,
yet. It's not
really
working.
Working.
I'm so with
one
you.
When I played was Colorado, Detroit.
That was great.
It was
they hated
real deal big boy hockey.
But I'm with Jonas. Like they set up this system to create these rivalries, and granted, it's only been what three or four
years. Yeah.
But it doesn't feel like it's working yet.
We
maybe need 20 years. to have that happen.
Jonas is a big shot now at The Athletic, James.
I know.
Thanks, Jeff.
All those guys, what's the deal on that? Have we grilled them on that? Do they all own a piece? Is that the deal? Is there equity in this thing?
How much do you make there? What? That's a fair question.
Yeah, because you're the one who always...
You make $1.7 million.
Oh, I'm down. You had me at 2.2 last year.
Wow. What is it really?
I had to take a cut.
Is it 2+?
He's yeah, not, I dropped, he's not I dropped it down to 1.7.
He's not doing the Amazing Race post-show anymore, so he had to take a cut. What's that show that took over?
The Social.
The Social.
I got canned for The Social Girls.
Yeah, you're out. The Social Girls are in.
It's a joke.
All right. Leafs Sabres on TSN 4 tonight. Looking forward to it, buddy.
Me too.
We'll catch you on the panel. Okay, there buddy. He is. James Doughty. You can also hear it right here on TSN 1050. Someone texting in, I guess Sean Avery's got a new book out or a new book coming out in October. Wondering if we're going to get him on the show.
I got to read a little bit of that.
Is it any good?
Yeah.
When's the last time you read a book?
I've read books. I read Noodle's book. I read most of Duffy's book. I've read books.
Lies. Oh, he lies.
Relax,
again,
Chris.
Again.
No, don't do it again.
Lies, he
lies. Oh, he lies.
I sound like Sarah Palin now. Like, yeah, I read books.
Magazines?
I'm into magazines.
Ones that are around?
Name one magazine. Just, you know, ones that are around.
I don't think I've read a book since in 25 years.
What was the last one?
The last book I read was a Cal Ripken book.
Really?
I was like in high school.
Hmm.
Would you like to read a book? Maybe you should read Sean Avery's book.
That will not be the first book that I read.
You want like a classic of some kind?
Yeah, get into like something crazy. Like War and Peace.
No, that's too boring.
You've read War and Peace?
I have a difficult time focusing.
But how would you know it's boring?
Like I'll read five pages and I got to go back to the beginning because I forgot what I read. I just doze off, which might be shocking to you.
How do you doze off when you're reading?
You're reading and you're like, what did I just read? You've never had that happen? I can't focus.
No. So you reread what you've already read because you weren't paying attention when you were reading.
I want to tell you something right now about this show. If people ever wonder why I doze off on this show, it's because I sit in that chair. That chair blows.
Yeah, it's the worst.
Blows goats.
Okay.
Because you sit there and two people are talking and you're going back and forth and you feel like you're not engaged. I am so engaged today. It's my best show of the year.
That's debatable. Get the poll up. Is this O's best show of the year?
It's we'll up see. There.
We'll see. All right. We got Ray coming up, Marcellus Wiley. How about the Thursday nighter last night? It was a great game. People
what was
are
it, 49 to 46.
41-39, 80 combined points. Of course, the Niners miss on the 2-point conversion.
They blow.
They suck. And there was nobody in the stands. We'll catch up with Marcellus Wiley in about an hour. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050.